You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. You've made it to the weekend. Mother Nature not exactly helping you celebrate that, though. Lots of rain last night, today, caused the cancellation of the Division I State High School Baseball Playoffs. I'll give you the latest as to when they will play that. Weather already affected Tulane baseball. LSU baseball, what happened last night? We'll talk about that as well. And we'll effort to see if any of the other schools are affected by the weather. First, Joey, welcome us to the weekend.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
And it is. Nothing like having a little Rebecca Black for you, Jordan, the intern. Of course, letting you know it is on Friday, May 10th, Saints minicamp this weekend for the rookies and a handful of other players giving some tryouts and things of that nature. We'll discuss that a little bit here as well. We have been throughout the week. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, stopped by yesterday. Got to touch on some storylines again. It'll be interesting to see if anybody in that draft class starts picking it up sooner. Again, you're not really going to see a lot, at least from our standpoint. Fans won't until mandatory mini camp, which is in June. In the meantime, in 2 weeks, will be our first shot to check out what the squad's sort of starting to look like as OTAs begin. We'll get into that here in a little bit as well, but as normal, you should know it by now. A couple weeks of OTAs, followed by, of course, mandatory minicamp. Then you got, 6-7 weeks, a little break there, leading into, of course, training camp last week of July, starting the month of August. But OTAs, May 21st through the 23rd, 28th through the 30th, June 3rd through the 6th, and then mandatory minicamp is June 11th through the 13th. So actually a week. They take a break there between the 3rd and the 6th, which is interesting, before that mandatory minicamp takes place. So we'll start giving some observations as to what we actually see on the field. And for what it's worth, remember, nothing's in shoulder pads and contact until obviously August. But you can make some observations and see how certain players react. Players, position, first, second string again. It's just your first early attempts, but it is right around the corner. Weather, of course, affecting a lot of different things. As we mentioned, the Division I State High School Baseball Playoffs, where you're home for it. Supposed to be yesterday, 4:30, 7:30. Weather postponed that. We do know the times and when it's going to be again. It's not today. It's not tomorrow. It's Sunday, as these lines of weather are going to be coming in consistently, essentially, for the next couple of days. So it'll affect some baseball games, not just here, not just in this state, but earlier this morning, Houston, they're hosting Tulane in college baseball, and they are
kayaking.
Lots of water under the interstate, for sure. Campus has been closed the next couple of days, so Tulane, wow, is banged today. No games. And Ty will give us the latest. We're going to chime in with him at 12:45. He's texting me a picture of him enjoying fajitas at Papacito's restaurant right now. So that's what he's doing. He's enjoying himself.
Well, some people got it rough.
Exactly right. Exactly. We got to sit here. But we'll check in with him what's going on. I'm going back and forth with Bryant Johnson. We'll see what Nichols with weather, what has to do there as well. We'll effort to see what's going on with the UNO. Again, weather is an issue in and around this area around here. Weather not an issue yesterday in Fayetteville. Yeesh. I want to know from you folks out there. LSU now has lost four straight. They lost the series to Ole Miss. Lost 12-1 midweek games. And it's sort of been a running battle back and forth with a lot of different people. Matt Moscona, his listeners, a lot of times in the afternoon, are midweek games important? When you have a conference like the SEC and a team like LSU's been in the past, they tend to focus on the midweek games. I mean, on the weekend games rather than midweek games. Everybody else in the state, midweek games, massive. They're important. Todd, when he joins us, talks about how Tulane's got to win those midweek games to help you, especially if your conference isn't doing very well, then have a high RPI and things of that nature. You need as many wins as possible. Problem is the rest of the teams in the state, very competitive. Nichols, UNO, SLU, Tulane, UL, they battle each other left and right. La Tech, that beat LSU back on Tuesday, 12-1, they're 30-19. So midweek games, if you want to say they're not important for the Tigers, to everyone else, by the way, Southern won their conference. So they're a good team. It's just the state has some good baseball. Point is, though, you always try to see what's alarming, what's not. And should you be concerned and should you not? I don't know. I just go again. I always go by the rule of what do your eyes see? And then you try to use the past, you use history, you use your knowledge, use other people's knowledge to try to convey, come up with a message or meaning and determine what it is that you're seeing, right? LSU has struggled with its pitching at times this year. LSU struggled. You saw Zach Hess struggle on Fridays. Made sense to go to the bullpen. Does it make sense to go in there in May, though? Right? If you have injuries to any pitching staff, and especially in a conference like the SEC, it's going to be an issue. Bottom line, they got shelled yesterday, 14-4. It was batting practice for the Razorbacks. And I'm not being ugly. When the broadcasters on ESPNU are talking about what they ate for breakfast, Joey, it's probably not a good thing. That was in the fourth inning. Get what I'm getting at? 6-run fourth by Arkansas. The broadcaster started talking about what they ate for breakfast. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's probably a good indication and sign things aren't going well. 15 hits, 14 runs by the Razorbacks. First inning a run, second inning two, third inning three, six in the fourth. That prompted people in that fourth inning to start literally tweeting at Matt and just in general, should you just start saving your arms for the weekend? Essentially throwing in the white towel in the game. Naturally, last night's performance sparked debate amongst a lot of LSU fans. It's time for Paul Maneri to go. Look, LSU dropped to 30-20, 14-11 in SEC play. They are running the risk of not hosting again, and that's the debate that a lot of people have had this week. If the Tigers don't host a regional, is that a disappointment or not, or is that a failure to a season in which they started the year ranked in a lot of polls number one in the country? Again, things happen, injuries, other teams are, I understand all of that. Just also saying you do understand when people view your team as that good, not hosting a regional, I think is a failure. Doesn't mean the season's a complete failure. You can still go and win a regional on the road. You can still go and win a super regional if you're not a top eight seed, national seed and host, and you can still get to Omaha. Once you get to Omaha, you can still win games. You can still get to the championship series. Championship series, basically what a lot of LSU fans said, is the bare minimum you expected going into this year. Again, Paul Maneri on our station. And Steven, get to you here in a quick sec. On our show, the Thursday before the season started, I asked him what was his biggest concern. Every coach has concerns going into the season. He said, My wife asked me that last night on the couch, and my concern is who's my backup catcher. And again, I'm not saying anything to him. He thought his team was that good, that deep, that literally the backup catcher was his concern. So, as we sit here and see it now, May 9th, last night, when the game was played, and again, you're playing a team in Arkansas that's leading the West, and you get shelled like that, doesn't mean that they can't win the next two games and win the series. That's not what it means. So that's why I'm asking you, LSU fans, to chime in. What's the concern level, 10 being, oh boy, as in it's time to change? Are you concerned? Because what is the expectation level if most people believe it is what? Championship series at Omaha. You got to get to Omaha first. Got to win a regional, super regional, get to Omaha, win games there, get to the championship series. That's a lot. And when you look at LSU playing right now, Todd said it when he was talking about his Green Wave. We'll chat with him at 12:45. What did he say? You want to be playing your best baseball now. In seasons past, LSU started slowly. They get a little run. They start heating up towards the end. Everything's fine. Kumbaya singing Omaha. It's kind of looking like the opposite right now. So I'll take your comments. 800-998-1003 as one of the topics we'll get into today. AD, that's another topic I'll get to after Steven. Steven, what's going on, bud?
Hey, man, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Doing well, man. Yes, sir.
Good, good. So I think LSU, for me, I'm a diehard kid. I mean, I watch LSU baseball, basketball, golf, darts, I don't care, whatever it is. So I think LSU's baseball team is suffering from this season in particular. I think they're suffering from the allure and just being an LSU Tiger, a baseball player. And by saying that, I mean that they're just very lax in accepting the fact that because I play for LSU, you know, I don't know. They're not carrying the flag like they're supposed to, in my opinion. Like, I've watched the team. I've listened to damn near all the games. I hope I can say that on the radio. I listen to most of the games on the radio, and I keep up with the team as best as I can. I have ever, you know, for the last probably decade. And I just feel like they're just not playing their best baseball because, one, there's the mismatch between the pitching is right-handed, the batting's all left-handed, and on top of that, they're just not playing good baseball. And I don't really know what the answer is. I think that the name LSU is superseding, you know, their thoughts, and they're just complacent with being, I'm an LSU baseball player, so everything's going to be fine. And I don't think they're putting in the work necessary to represent the way that we have in the past.
It's interesting you say that. Ryan Terrio, who comes on Matt Moscone in the afternoons, he tweeted this last night. Along the lines of what you're kind of maybe saying here, Steven, Terrio says, quote, "The game of baseball is predicated on fear. Fear of throwing a certain pitch. Fear of taking an aggressive hack. Fear of getting drilled and so on. The moment you're not feared, you lose your edge. Can someone please get ejected? Let's go." And I'm like, wow, are we trying to go Cobra Kai here? But I get what he's saying. What he's saying is that aggressive nature, that mentality of that other teams. And look, I've said this in the past too, and you saw this the last couple of seasons in which LSU loses in the regional, loses in a super regional at the box, where it was, you don't want to go there and play. Now, I don't know if you still have that same, you know, feeling about it, but it's interesting. Again, a former player went to the majors, on all the time covering this team and talking about this team, for him to say that he gets that sense and feeling that no one fears LSU. And that could be something that's more mental. He never said talent. He kind of used more of an intangible.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I remember at one point, like, playing LSU, even the midweek games, it was just like, this is just lights out time. It's like, we're going to win. But you have to play those games. Now you got to think about the fact that Louisiana schools play LSU harder. In my opinion, it's not Florida. It's not Ole Miss. It's not Arkansas. It's Tulane, UL, Southeastern. These are the teams that we're losing now. It's because these teams are playing LSU with a chip on their shoulder because they didn't get to go to LSU. And, you know, LSU are dropping these games that they usually handle business. And I don't care if it's 3-1 or 12-1. They would win them. I don't care how you win in baseball. Just win the game. And, you know, I'm just not seeing that anymore.
it's starting to become frustrating. Like, the last couple of seasons, I've been like, all right, okay. But now it's like, all right, man, what y'all doing? Y'all got all this talent, you know, but it's just not transitioning into the wins that we're used to. And, you know, LSU just has this expectation of, you know, winning. And I'd like to see my state win, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's all I got to say.
So let me ask you this before we let you go here, Steven. What?
Yeah.
Because I think in this day and age, you know, look, with social media and just it is what it is, right? I mean, I tune in First Take this morning and it's fire. I mean, again, it's hilarious, right? 2 days ago, I said it on the show yesterday. It's should they trade Embiid? They bounced back yesterday and Embiid's great all of a sudden. So I get it. In all seriousness, though, because you saw it on social media yesterday. It's, you know, I would just tweet or would go look at the comments of one of Moscona's tweets, and it's firemanary. It's done. He has no leadership. Yeah. He's lost the team. At what point do you feel change would ever be needed? I didn't say will because I don't think you're doing it this year, but would ever be needed? When do you think that happens? Like, what is the definition of not winning enough or not winning deep enough?
If they for some reason, if they missed the tournament, you know, like, two or three seasons in a row, or they're not even, you know, in contention, that's when I believe the conversation starts. Because you got to realize in baseball, I mean, it's a lot, the game's more difficult. And again, you can have good teams that pop out the blue. And we'll never forget Stony Brook or ECU. I mean, East Coast of Carolina, like things like that happen. But, and I also understand that we play in the toughest, you know, conference in baseball. So I just look at it. I'm very optimistic. I'm always the glass half full guy. With all that being said, I also know LSU's dealt with some injuries this season. We've had some pitching woes. You know, people are coming back. People aren't 100%. So, again, I'm not calling for, you know, ousting Paul Manieri or anything like that. He recruits great. You know, they just need to do a better job of putting it together, I guess. I guess just maybe this season's just a little rough. I know the talent's there. I know the coaching's mm-hmm. there. They might just need to make some, you know, maybe address some hidden issues. Maybe I hate to say it, they might want to look at a new hidden coach, because it seems like what's been hurting us. So, yeah, man, I'm not outing them yet.
Yeah, no, staff changes. Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, right? I mean, we saw it at Tulane last year. We've seen it in the past in different places. And look, at the end of the day, you again, for what it's worth, you pull up the standings right now. Arkansas, 38 wins. Mississippi State, 39. Ole Miss, 32. LSU, 30. Now, again, you can look at it and say some of those midweek games that they're not taking seriously or whatever, I mean, could hurt you, hinder you, make it any difference. You can look at the 38 wins that Arkansas has and say half of those are against teams that aren't good. I don't know. But to a fan that just pulls that up and looks at it and they see Arkansas, State, Ole Miss, then LSU, and just a game, well, two games back of the win column, same number of losses as A&M, one game back really from that is Auburn. You have a bunch of teams all in that same area. So, you know, again, it's how you view it, right? Is the SEC that competitive right. that any team can go from first to fourth in the series? Right. You know? So that's why I'm asking, what is the level of concern? For me, it's getting a tournament. You'd love to host a regional. I do think, and I think you agree with me, Steven, you don't host a regional, that's a failure. That's a disappointment, especially if you open the season at number one. I mean, you got to host at the box if you're them, right?
Yeah, okay. I agree, man. That's unquestionable. And it's comfort. You got home field advantage. You got 12,000 strong in the box. It's the best atmosphere in college baseball. It's just, you as fans, you want them to live up, you know, to the expectation. We got to be fair as fans. Again, we are fans, and that's where it should stop. You know, some people take it beyond there, but.
I hear you. Thank you for the phone call, Steven. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Got to hit this break. You know, I think I look at it like this as well. I'm glad what he said that, too. Look, I think there's reasonable expectations, and then there's fan expectations. Fan expectations, if you're an LSU baseball fan, is Omaha every year. It's really hard to get there, especially in the last several years. College baseball's completely changed. A lot more money put into programs, a lot more money into facilities, a lot more money into stadiums, a lot better baseball players. They're playing year-round, the kids do. More talent all the way around. It's not a given that you show up to Omaha anymore. But reasonably, that program absolutely should host a regional. That's a reasonable expectation. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll continue to chime on this if you like to as well. How concerned are you about their program, Tiger fans? And when we come back, Fletcher Mackle tweeted something yesterday that gave me two feelings initially. So I'm trying to talk it out through you guys. Y'all going to be my therapist. We'll have Fletcher on at 2:15. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
New Orleans Harley-Davidson, your hometown dealership that's bringing the fun back in riding. At New Orleans Harley-Davidson, our single goal is to treat every person like family. And we got the bikes, a large inventory of new and pre-owned. Plus, we can customize any bike to fit your needs. And when it comes to service, we treat your bike like ours. Always wanted to ride? Our Riding Academy. We'll get you riding safely and enjoying the open road in just 4 days. So stop on by and be a part of the family. 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie, New Orleans Harley-Davidson, bringing the fun back in riding.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company. Member FDIC.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims and insurance companies. Have been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the way to go. Check them out over online. Free consultation call. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Feel free. Jordan, just tweet that. LSU Tiger fans, how concerned are you about the baseball team? That's going to be one of the topics we can get into. The next is what Fletcher was tweeting yesterday. I'll get into that in a quick second about Anthony Davis. The meeting between Griffin, AD, Rich Paul, and who else? Ben, thanks for giving us a call today on this Friday, man. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Glad to have you guys back.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that for sticking around and giving us a call today.
I'm from a performance standpoint, I don't think LSU deserves to host the regional because
right.
It's been let down after let down and just, you know, completely erratic play, no consistency whatsoever. But from a atmosphere standpoint, they should hold a regional because, you know, like the previous caller was saying, there's nothing like Saturdays at the Box. But, I mean, long-term, the program, I'm very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Manieri, I think they need to move on from him. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Les Miles. You know, you won a title early, and then, you know, other than going to another national championship and not winning it, you haven't done much else. So, I mean, I just don't think he's getting his guys fired up the right way. I don't think he's, you know, just doing the right things, motivating them the right way. And, I mean, I think you got to move on from him at some point and just say, like, you're good. You got us to this point, but we need to move on too, you know, sayonara. So, I mean, that's the only solution I see out of this. I mean, let me ask you this, Ben. You guys feel the same way?
Well, let me ask you this, because I have heard this, call it grapevine, call it people in the baseball community. I think that's probably a good way to put it. That have had relationships or even coached some of the kids that wind up playing at LSU. And so I'll phrase it this way, Ben. Do you feel when you watch LSU baseball's program that they win because of the talent on hand or the, I guess the talent that comes in improving and the coaching up of players and they get better as they get there? You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I mean, these guys come in and they're extremely talented. I mean, these guys play AAU ball. They play travel ball. They play high school ball. I mean, a lot of these guys know each other when they get there, you know, because they come up in the same system together, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not a chemistry thing at all, you know, but I mean, you know, there's only so good you're going to get. I think a lot of it has to do with depth, you know, when you have the right depth, you know, you can get solid production from anybody out there. If you lack that depth, especially at pitching, yeah, it's going to show because you're going to look great on the weekend, you know, and on Friday and Saturday, and you're going to fall apart on Sunday, you're going to fall apart in the middle of the week. And that's kind of what it's the recurring theme we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years. I don't know if they need to, you know, go more hardcore on the depth, you know. You have Hess out there starting. He's not a starter, never has been a starter, you know. And then, you know, you got other guys who, you know, basically they lose their stuff. And you got nowhere to go on Sunday afternoons, and you got nowhere to go in the middle of the week because you have no pitcher. You know, I mean, and then, you know, back in the Skip Bertman area, every guy on that team could hit a home run. It was all gorilla ball. You know, now they cork the bats, you know, you get these smaller guys in here, you know, but I don't know what there's not an easy solution to it.
Ben, exactly.
You know, so I think that's why you got to go another way on coaching.
And that's why I was asking, because when you make the evaluation, and I was asking our previous caller, when you make the evaluation, if you're Scott Woodward, what makes you think or start thinking maybe a change is needed? Is it, you know, win level? Is it how deep you go? Is it postseason success? Things of that nature, because you have to evaluate, right? And one of the things you evaluate in coaching, you do in football, it was one of the things about Les Miles, development of players. That was the word that kept escaping me, Ben. Do you feel that LSU develops players, or is it, hey, Paul does get these players? It's a place that people want to go play. You get the pick, for the most part, of in-state. You have help because of being a state school that other schools don't. So you should have the crop of the talent, and it's maybe more of handling of players and knowing how to get the most out of those players. Almost like a NBA coach to an extent, Ben, if you know what I'm getting at, to where the talent's there, like to your point, you're saying you're only going to get so good. All right, so how do you handle them? How do you know when to use them or not? Because we've seen, especially in the last several years, if a player doesn't do well, goes to the bench, brings in the next guy who would be starting anywhere else as well, but that's where you go. So how does that affect a locker room like that? Some people feel that's a good thing, that, hey, if it's that next man up mentality, you have to perform, but, you know, is it, do you have a week to do it? Do you have a series to do it? Do you have a couple of at-bats? If not, somebody else comes in. So I think that's the thing that's a little unique and different when you look at other things. Ben, you touched on pitching. Again, we're going to talk to Todd at 12:45. They have literally one of the best hitting teams in the country. One of the best hitting teams Tulane's ever fielded, and they've lost 9 of 12. Why? Pitching. So that's a baseball thing, you know, and that's the thing. So if LSU can't get the pitching and Tulane's struggling pitching, to your point, it's just depth. Everyone's going to have a good starter or two. How's that pen go and everything else? But it's unique that you say that because, yeah, I mean, you see it everywhere else. If you have injuries to pitching, and I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, what do you want them to do? You could literally have gorilla ball, but if they can't get anybody out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, I don't think they develop players as much as they could, because they have, you know, so much good talent. I think that, you know, it might be kind of a tough deal for Manieri to figure out who goes where, especially in the hitting lineup. But I mean, you can't just rely on what you get. You know, you gotta develop these guys, and you gotta basically compensate for the weaknesses. Like, if this guy's weak on hitting, then maybe put him at the top of the lineup. You know, right. This guy's, you know, is your clutch player and always hits when there's somebody on base. do like a money ball kind of thing, you know, just grab a bunch of high school players that just get on base. I mean, I know it's more complicated than that, but I mean, you know, I don't know. That's why he makes the big bucks, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know. But,
I hear you.
Yeah.
And again, that's why, like, legitimately, I'm not doing the, hey, try to get called. I don't know what the feeling sort of is. You know what I mean? Look, it's hard to imagine that other teams in the SEC won't improve, won't get better, won't have talent at least 1 year or not. So it's a difficult road, especially when you look at how many teams are in the top 25 in that conference. So I understand it. So that's why I'm legitimately trying to find out and get a sense and feel from the fan base. What are realistic expectations? What is your level of, okay, I've had enough? And, you know, where do you feel right now with this team? You know, and I think we could all say, hey, look, you should be trying to host a regional and should, but right now you're battling to do that. I think that's the only thing I can convincingly say is, yeah, it's a disappointment if you don't host a regional, if you're LSU.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I rotate everything back to football, like, you know, John Gruden with the Bucks and Jerry Glanville with the, you know, Atlanta Falcons. It's like, yeah, you get us to the playoffs every year, but you can only get us to that point. You know, we need somebody to get us over the hump. You know, you need somebody that can, you know, motivate these guys to get them through the late innings, to get them through the tough games. And I don't know, maybe it's a mindset that the players have walking into LSU that, like, I've won my whole life and they don't know what to do. They're like a deer in the headlights when they get down. Mm. But I mean, when you're beating, you know, pretty good SEC teams and then getting pounded by, like, you know, Southern, you know, I don't know what to make of that. The consistency is not there.
I'm with you.
The consistency is just not there.
I mean, Ben, I get if you want to sit there and say you're not throwing your number one guy, you lost 12-1. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I get it. You know, so what, your hitting doesn't show up that day? I don't know. Ben, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. We're going to take this quick break. Michael will come to you out of the break. Rafael Esparza will chime in here as well afterwards. Again, I'm just trying to get a sense and feel, really, of what you guys feel. Also, I've yet to bring up another interesting point coming up in hour two. I think it'll be a main focus. AD, Griffin and the Pelicans, the meeting. We have a time frame. We have who will be in attendance. What's your feelings on that? Michael, we'll come to you right out of the break. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918... we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Nothing hurts my mom that she showed anyway. She'd always say, "You do what you need to do to take care of yourself." But she thought that meant she had to do it on her own. We were trained to help others, but there's strength in finding help for yourself, too. We're in this together. Even the toughest of us might not know where to go to get a little support.
Encourage women who have served to learn more about the VA care and benefits they've earned. The VA Women Veterans Call Center connects veterans with personalized information on VA services that can make a difference. Call 1-855-VA-WOMEN or visit www.womenshealth.va.gov. 1-855-VA-WOMEN or visit www.womenshealth.va.gov.
Oh, big talker, ain't it?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
LSU basketball adding a game against Nichols to the 2019-20 schedule. Talk a little bit more about that later on. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow us over on Twitter. Joins us on Friday, and apparently now that he knows where the studio is, occasionally we'll walk in. You know, I knew better than expect you here. It's raining outside. You just don't go outside in the rain.
No, I mean, this desert boy would melt.
I know. I understand. You're not used to seeing rain out in the desert in Vegas. Let's touch on the NBA playoffs and what we saw last night. I looked at my intern yesterday and I said, all right, time to pick the games at the end of the show. And I said, you know, the mere fact that Screamin' A, Kellerman, First Take, PTI, Around the Horn, everybody the day before yesterday's game kept saying, should they trade Embiid? Is he a bust? Is he a problem? Should they break up the Sixers? Brown should be fired. They hadn't been knocked out of the series yet, but everyone was talking about them. I'm like, they're going to fight. And you know what? And I looked at it, and I looked at you guys. Vegas only had the Raptors as a two-point favorite. That told me you guys thought it would be a closer game. Philly winds up winning.
Yeah, it was a much closer game. We needed that win just because of the series price. Now we can hedge off on that series price. We figured one of these big matchups would go seven games. It was either that one or Golden State Houston. I mean, not Portland, Denver as well. But it was a great game. Now can Philly steal a road game in Toronto? Now can Philly, who has not shown that they can play well on the road, stop Kawhi Leonard in Toronto? I mean, that's been the biggest answer. I think the bench play in Toronto has been much better at home. You always get better bench play and role players play better at home. So that's why I lean towards Toronto on Sunday. Lane minus six, totals 209. I think the Raptors win that game, and then we'll get to hear Screamin' A and everyone else in the media what to do with Philadelphia. I think Jimmy Butler might be gone. Uh-huh. I think Embiid will stay. Simmons, can someone please shoot to teach him how to shoot a jump shot? I just don't understand how. If Jordan can shoot three-pointers after he breaks his leg and other athletes have done it, why can't Ben Simmons make a jump shot? Still shocks me, but I think the 76ers will probably land another nice free agent landing spot if Jimmy Butler decides to leave.
I thought it was interesting. I heard Stan Van Gundy yesterday on Golic and Wingo say that very thing, that the best scenario for the Lakers, which we'll get into in your thoughts here in a quick second of what you're hearing in the desert grapevines, but it was Butler and Davis over there because he doesn't feel that another top-tier free agent's going to go there. And Wojnarowski this week, and you remember, I think you were here when I played the bite of him saying, look, this year the top free agents, they're not ring chasing. Most of the guys going to be the top free agents have already won or won a ring. So it's going to be a little bit different from that aspect of it. Could Kyrie go to L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, why not? That would be more interesting now that I think maybe the Nets are making a lot of bold statements in that they think they can outmaneuver the Knicks and grab a big free agent. Maybe Kyrie, maybe KD, maybe even Kawhi Leonard in Brooklyn. Yeah, I would not be shocked if maybe Kyrie say, hey, you know what, maybe I'll go play with LeBron one more year and then he can go make movies and then the Lakers franchise can be me. Now, if that's the case, then what do you do with the Ball family and the point guard situation that they have going over there if Kyrie decides to go there? But, yeah, it would not shock me if maybe Irving tests the waters I still think Klay Thompson might be testing the waters. I think he'll end up in one of the L.A. uniforms, Clippers or Lakers.
Wow. You know, I've heard a lot of people this week say that this could be one of the wildest firework-laden free eight or off seasons in the NBA that we've seen in a long, long time. Could change the way the NBA sort of is. The West has been so dominant. Could see a lot of crossover, a lot of changing. And really, the teams that have been dominant in the West not become so as much as well. How do you think all that translates? First off, do you think that that's the case? And how do you think that translates into the potential soon-to-have meeting between AD and the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think, I mean, with the situation, with the complete mess that the Lakers have right now between who's going to coach them and all that, I mean, that just puts a big X. I mean, does AD want to go to play the Lakers? Does Kawhi Leonard want to go to the Lakers? I mean, that just puts a big X on maybe L.A.'s not that destination, or at least the purple and gold in L.A. is not that destination. You still have the Clip show over there. I think that's a big thing. Me and you keep on stressing this. Tuesday is probably one of the most dictated circle spots in the NBA where free agents, who you're going to draft, who's going to be your coach, it all can be determined on who gets that lottery ball on Tuesday. The top three could probably change in how you're going to approach free agency, how you're going to approach the draft, how you're going to approach your next head coach. I mean, Tuesday is – this Tuesday is probably one of the biggest NBA lotteries I can remember than maybe Patrick Ewing.
Agree. Well, 100% agree with you on that aspect of it, which is why I'm having a watch party over there at Vinny's, man. If it's not raining, we expect you to be there, Rafael.
As long as it's not raining, because like I said, this desert body melts.
Hard to believe. Nuggets and Trailblazers, you saw the backcourt. What was it? They combined Dame Lillard and McCollum for, 60, 62 points, something like that yesterday. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, this again, for all you people who live in the East Coast or maybe here in New Orleans who don't stay up late to watch these games, you're missing an outstanding series between Portland and Denver. It's just one of the best series that no one's talking about in the NBA playoffs. I mean, do the networks want a Toronto-Denver NBA Finals? No, they do not want that. But, I mean, these Denver Nuggets, their bench is experienced. The Joker is playing out of his mind. The backcourt of Portland is growing up in our eyes game after game. Outstanding series. But the last five out of the last six games have gone over the total. We've seen some great offensive performances. We've seen a quadruple overtime game. Give me the over 212.5 on this one, and I like the Joker and the Denver Nuggets winning at home.
Ooh, what about Raptors Sixers game 7?
I like both home teams. I think Denver. I like Denver and Toronto, and I think I'm gonna say Houston upsets Golden State, and I think that the rumor mills of what's gonna go down in Golden State start early with Klay, Draymond, KD.
Really?
Let's throw this out. Let's say Golden State doesn't go to the finals. I mean, well, maybe Steve Kerr, maybe he want to retire. We all know about his health issues and stuff like that. He'll probably get some rumors out there as well.
Oh my goodness! What you're throwing in? You're throwing in chaos now.
Oh, I don't. Nope. You, I love. Give me chaos. I want a WWE NBA summer. I want chairs thrown. I want an RKO out of nowhere. That's what I'm hoping the NBA does something.
All right, let me use this as you brought up the reference. What would be a Randy Orton RKO out of nowhere type free agency move this summer?
When Tuesday, when me and you are watching the NBA lottery, as long as it's not raining because I don't want to melt, the Chicago Bulls win the number one pick. They draft Zion. They get Anthony Davis to come back home to Chicago.
How did they do that?
I don't know. You just asked me what's the RKO shock moment. I just gave you one. How's it going to happen? I have no clue. I don't have a magic wand.
That's fantastic. You're like our intern over here, Jordan. You just throw things on the wall and no sense to rhyme or reason. Somehow get AD in a trade for nobody in Chicago and keep Zion, huh? You think that's going to happen?
We'll give you the Michael Jordan statue out front for Anthony.
There you go. There we go. The statue will really, what did you say about the trainer? Can he make a three and a jump shot? How can a statue help, Raphael?
Because that statue will look nice in Champion Square.
Okay. All right. There you go. Fine. Hey, any big fights this weekend?
Oh, I mean, it's a great fight weekend. You got Bellator 221 on Saturday. You got UFC 237 on Saturday. Bellator, you got a former WWE making his second fight, Swagger. I know his name is now Jack Hager, but he's making his second fight in Bellator. You got two women leading UFC 237 and like Thug Rose getting plus money to retain her belt. And then you have boxing on Fox. You have a nice Williams Hurd fight on PBC on boxing on Frost on Saturday.
All right. Give us a little takes on that. Appreciate that, Raphael. Enjoy the weekend and try to stay dry.
I will, because I don't feel like melting this weekend.
Unbelievable. See you next week, bud.
Take it easy, guys.
There he goes. Speaking of rain, we'll see if the Graf had to kayak, as Joey said, over in Houston, over to Papacito's for lunch, enjoying some delicious fajitas, chips, and salsa. Jordan, what are we enjoying in the studio here?
Whatever you packed up for.
Exactly. A granola bar and a protein shake.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yum.
Not on par with marinated meat. Warm tortilla chips. Well,
we had the chance yesterday at Benny's.
No, it's not the same. I love me some Papacitos. We'll talk to the Graf next. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer went to Rod Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges and dishwashers, washers and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without rustling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between, because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Visit Houma Tractor today, your locally owned John Deere dealer specializing in sales, parts, and service since 1987.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call the local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Oh, Gus, never. Never will we bring up anything we talk about off the air.
Not at all.
No.
Maybe if we had a satellite show one day. Sports Hangover, you're
XM
listening
with Gus
to ESPN New Orleans. And still trying to see if the weather's going to affect any of the local games in and around the area. Weather's already affected a game, a state over to the left out west. In Houston we go, where Todd Graffanini's probably full, looking forward to a nap, having had lunch at Papacito's, warm tortilla chips, some salsa, fajita meats, just the smell in the air. I'm sorry to bother you, apparently. It's how I feel, honestly.
Yeah, you're bothering me. I'm actually going back to the hotel, Gus. So.
See? He's going for a nap.
I'm trying to figure out what to do. Another weather-affected weekend. It's been ridiculous this year.
I was going to say, in all honesty, the game today postponed, canceled. What was the rest of the weekend sort of look like? Houston does have a artificial field, but you still got to be able to play when it's not pouring.
Yeah, I can't answer that question, Gus. They have not decided on what they're going to do the rest of the weekend. The thing is they've canceled everything on campus. Now, I actually did a little research when I found out, because the school is shut down, not only today but tomorrow. They're actually postponing graduation, which I can tell you is not going over very well.
Wow.
For the people around here. Yeah, they're not having graduation ceremonies on campus, and they're going to do it later on next week, which, again, you're planning on this for years.
Yeah.
For the most part. So, again, that's another issue completely. But you can technically have a sporting event, a scheduled sporting event on campus, even if the university is shut down. I made sure to ask that question to somebody who would know earlier today. But in this case, I think it would be prudent for everyone, considering if they're going to cancel graduation, I don't think it would go over very well if there was a baseball game going on literally next door when they weren't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It does. Honestly, right now, we could be playing baseball. Now, the weather isn't great. It's overcast, but it has not rained at all today. Not a drop. So, but the reason they shut the university down because they deemed the roads unsafe to get to said university. Because last night, it was a deluge, and it flooded in many parts of the city.
Yeah, no, I saw that on Twitter. I texted you this morning. Standing water as high as pickup trucks under interstate underpasses and things of that nature. So, and we've seen in the past Houston suffer flooding, so we know that it does take on water. When you guys eventually do play, you mentioned this is just one of the other elements that this season sort of had to deal with. Todd, as far as the baseball goes, man, you said it last week to us, and I used it earlier today on our show, your statement of you want to be playing your best baseball now. We were talking about LSU baseball that got beat yesterday, and some of the fans were talking about their pitching. I'm like, look, Tulane literally has one of the best hitting teams in the country. Their pitching is an issue as well, too. What's so hard about having a good pitching staff or pitching in college baseball just overall? You've done this 27 years. Why is it difficult to find depth in college baseball pitching?
Because of the scholarship situation. You have to commit. You have to commit basically most of your money, not all of it, but a good deal of it. If you're dividing 11.7 scholarships with a college baseball roster, you've got to pretty much allocate most of that money to frontline pitching. It's just very, very difficult to add depth. And look, teams are going to pitch. I mean, it happens every year. But for the most part, teams are going to struggle on the mound. Number one, because the players themselves, the hitters, are pretty good. Okay? You're going to get frontline arms. But a lot of those times, the frontline arms, which commit to college, go play pro ball. So then you've got a whole other issue whatsoever. Look, the bottom line right now is we're actually starting to pitch a little better than we have most of the year, Gus. We're just not hitting the ball now the way we were. And as I talked about on the show last week, it is impossible, almost impossible, to continue to swing the bats at the pace the way we have been. It's going to even out at some point. Now, we're just in one of those situations where not only are we hitting for average, but we're also hitting some tough luck too, Gus. And that, again, that's part of it. We're seeing a lot of balls that we square up getting caught. And yeah, that's part of the game. So we got to find a way right now to put it all together. When we're getting a good pitch game, we got to swing the bats too. It's been one or the other. Especially the last couple of weeks, it's really been more on the pitching side than the hitting side. So once we put this thing together, Gus, I think we're going to be okay. But that's been an issue.
Speaking of Todd Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. So you look at it, just two series left. You got UConn that you wind up with the regular season here. Is it really just trying to get a couple of games together here and string together some success and not really look at the bigger picture?
Yeah. It truly is one game at a time right now. And I know it's the biggest cliche in all of sport, but Tulane has to try to figure out to win a game and then go from there. You know, we thought it was going to be Tuesday night against Nicholls. And look, give credit to Nicholls. Their guy on the mound kind of stymied us for a little bit. We figured it out. We had a couple of leads, and then we weren't able to hold them. And, you know, that was another game where we led late and we're not able to close it out. So you just got to get a game and win the next game and then win the next game. It's got to start, though, with winning one. And that's been an issue, especially since last Friday when we started the series so well against UCF. And, you know, who'd have thought that what happened in the bottom of the eighth inning on Saturday night has, you know, carried over now this far. And it's just, you know, we got to figure it out, Gus, because we're running out of games here in the regular season. The good news is, we still control our destiny to come in second place in this league. And that is huge. You want to be on the other side of East Carolina, who is going to win the regular season championship tonight if they beat Wichita State. And Wichita, their magic number is one. But if we're on the other side of the bracket, Gus, and again, especially I've talked about it with Coach Jewett the last couple of days, if we can pitch like we have in the last four games, when we go to Clearwater Beach, we're going to have a great chance to win the tournament, especially if we're on the other side of the bracket from ECU, where you're only going to have to beat them one time in a championship game instead of two, because it's going to be really hard to beat that team twice. It can be done, but you take your chances with beating them once. Like I said, if we can continue to pitch the way we have, and then when the hitting gets going again, because it's going to, you give yourself a chance in Clearwater, no question about it.
So for that to happen,
but you got to end up in the second or third spot.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. For that to happen, what do you need to do the next couple games?
Yeah, one side of the bracket is 1-4-5-8. The other side is 2-3-6-7. So you want to be in the 2 or 3 spot right now. So I'm thinking, Gus, if we win 4 out of 6, if we can somehow win this series here in Houston, which is very doable. Houston is not as potent as they have been in the last few years. If you can win 2 out of 3 on the road here this weekend, win 2 out of 3 next weekend against UConn, you're going to be in second place. So, you know, just win 2 series. You've got it all ahead of you, and you control your destiny in that sense, Gus. So there you go.
All right, well, easy enough. And if you get any update, go ahead and feel free to text me, and I will put it on the air. But no game today. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, again, the key is, Gus, we've just got to figure out a way to play 3 games before we get out of here. I think there's going to be an opportunity to play tomorrow, even if we have to play a doubleheader on Sunday. The weather's supposed to be really nice here on Sunday. So it's just figuring out a way to get one game in before we have to play 2 on Sunday.
Go enjoy your nap with your full belly of Papacitos.
I cannot wait. Thank you.
There he goes. Todd Graffanini. Where's the Tulane Green Wave? Got some NFL news. We know Michael Thomas has been liking a lot of different contracts when it comes to receivers. Maybe Marshawn Lattimore is paying attention to this one. Dolphins just gave Xavien Howard the NFL's highest paid corner deal. 5 years, $76.5 million. $46 million of it is guaranteed. He's going to get $51 million over the first 3 seasons. The obvious question you ask after that is, what's Marshawn Lattimore going to get? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.